Mulder Was Right is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/MWRcast. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Was Right. We discuss conspiracy theories and alternative facts. My name is Curtis. I'm your host today. What's your name, brother?
My name is Brendan. How's it going, guys?
They can't answer.
And hey, guy over there. How's it going?
What's your name?
Are you guys talking to me on the other side of the screen?
You.
Me?
Yeah.
My name's Sakeef.
We're terrible at intros.
We're really great at intros.
We are the worst at intros.
Everyone loves this. That was, people come up to me on the street and they say, "Hey, we love your intros on Mulder Was Right."
Really?
I'm extraordinarily famous.
Wow.
Yeah. Does that happen to you guys?
I would think you would be the most famous of us, Curtis.
I mean, have you seen those large arms?
Yeah, but Skeef's literally a model.
Oh, that's all. I'm the odd man out here.
No one knows.
You know, we really talk about a lot of inside jokes, like on this show.
And we are, and we apologize for that. Why don't we just get on to the episode?
They've been listening thus far and it hasn't stopped them. So I guess they're in on it now. So you guys don't really know what the topic is today yet. The listeners do because they can read the title of the episode.
But I can't read.
But you can't read the title of the episode because we're still in the past and you can't read at all.
Yeah, that's the big one.
That's the big one. So I'm just going to start it out, guys, mysteriously.
Okay.
Let's begin.
I'm in.
July 2nd, 1951, Florida. 67-year-old Mary Reeser is found dead by her landlord. Reeser's remains, which were largely ashes, were found among the remains of a chair in which she had been sitting. Only part of her left foot, which was wearing a slipper, and her backbone remained, along with her skull. Plastic household objects at a distance from the seat of the fire were softened and had lost their shape. Even though the body was almost totally cremated, requiring very high temperatures, the room in which it occurred showed little evidence of fire. December 4th, 1966, Pennsylvania. 92-year-old Dr. John Irving Bentley entertains several visitors who leave at 9 p.m. that evening. The next morning, the meter reader lets himself in, as he usually does, and smells a strange, sweet odor. Investigating, the meter reader goes upstairs and finds what's left of Dr. Bentley. His right leg, still slippered, and his walker on top of a 4-foot hole burned into the floor of the bathroom, which was otherwise undamaged. The fire which consumed Dr. Bentley is estimated to have burned at 2,500 degrees Fahrenheit. September 13th, 1967, South London. A group of office workers were waiting for the bus around 5 a.m. when they noticed flames in the upper window of an abandoned building. They immediately called the police, who rushed to the scene. There, they found the still-burning body of Robert Bailey, a homeless man. The police first to the scene reported that a blue flame emitted forcefully from a 4-inch slit in Bailey's abdomen, and his teeth were clenched down on the newel post of the staircase he had collapsed next to. They managed to extinguish Bailey by forcing a hose into the abdominal cavity. No external means of ignition were found on his body, and he was a non-smoker. December 22nd, 2010, Ireland. 76-year-old Michael Faherty is found burned to death in his sitting room near his fireplace. The fire had been entirely confined to the room, and the only damage found was to the totally burnt body, the ceiling above and the floor beneath him. No trace of any accelerants were found, and there was nothing to suggest foul play had taken place. Furthermore, fire officers were satisfied that the open fire in the fireplace was not the cause of the blaze, which led to Faherty's death. 9 months later, the coroner assigned to Faherty's death made this statement: "The fire was thoroughly investigated, and I'm left with the conclusion that this fits into the category of spontaneous human combustion."
Oh, that's what SHC stands for, spontaneous human combustion.
Da-da!
All right, so clearly you're pitching, you know, spontaneous human combustion, but let me give you an alternate an alternate theory here.
Mm-hmm.
In my eyes, clearly, it's fairly obvious here. But let me bring you into my brain here.
We're in it. Oh, look at that. Oh, there's a couch in here.
It is clearly Ted Cruz, the Zodiac Killer.
Oh.
Now let me just, like, one of the events was in 2010, correct?
Correct. The most recent.
Yes. Now, everyone knows that Ted Cruz decided to run for president in 2010. He told his landlord, he told his wife, he told...
Ted Cruz does not have a landlord, I think.
He did in 2010. and it in part was because of the fact that he had a will to set people on fire and then run away.
Oh.
Yeah. And so if he was able to become president, he could pardon himself. Now, Ted Cruz has a lot of other issues that led to him not being elected, this being one of them, but...
Do you guys remember that video that came out of Ted Cruz during the presidential election from when he was in college?
Oh, yeah, and he was just like, I want to take over the world.
Yeah, that's the one.
And he said a bunch of crazy... He was clearly just a college kid screwing around, but...
By burning people.
Burning people.
Burning
right.
people.
Yes.
Ted Cruz, the Zodiac Killer.
Yeah, he also has kind of a weird face. I think that was his main problem.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my theory. Your theory probably makes more sense, but I just wanted to...
Yeah, spontaneous human combustion. that's the most reasonable theory that we've purported so far.
I just wanted to pitch my theory.
So,
you said this first case was in the 1950s, right?
The first one I mentioned was in 1951, but that is not the first.
So there were others? Ever. There were other cases before this?
Yeah, we'll get into that. First, I want to ask you guys, like, what have you heard about spontaneous human combustion? I'm sure you've heard of it before.
I've seen the Cards Against Humanity card. I think that's a thing.
That just says spontaneous human combustion?
I think it says spontaneous human combustion.
Yeah, okay. What about you, Sakeith?
Well, I know I've seen some spontaneous human combustion on some media before, and I also know that you guys will think it's funny that I use the word media.
Some good old media.
You see, when you said media, I assumed that you just saw it on the news. Like, it just like it just happens all the time.
Oh, yeah, totally. The last time I saw this happen was on CNN Live, you know? Some guy was just screaming.
That would be astounding. I think
that would really... really just, you know, cement this theory here. It wouldn't really actually, you know, have any issues.
And it would bring into the question of the morality of recording something while someone is dying in front of you.
You know, there's a lot of that. I was recently watching this show called Shot in the Dark, which is a documentary series about stringers, guys who basically in L.A. go around and they get calls from like on the police scanners of like... of like events going on, like crimes.
Oh, this is
and
like
stuff.
The movie Nightcrawler.
Yeah. Okay. Exactly. It's exactly like the movie Nightcrawler, only it's with real people.
Uh-huh.
It's categorized in the reality TV category. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. There's probably a lot of drama that's like amped up in the show, but I want to say that some of it's probably true. But anyway, so it's like it'd be similar to that. So there's definitely a very, very morale issue on that, and they. And they cover that in the first episode, but one of them actually is like waiting and a car's lights go out and everything as they're like stalled in the middle of the road. And then another car comes and hits it and the car starts on fire. So he's like, oh, shit. And then peels out of the car and goes and saves the man's life out of the car.
Pretty cool.
Yep. Spoilers for the first episode. but it's I don't know. It's a pretty good show. I recommend it. I really enjoyed it. So I think you will, too.
And we're not being paid to say that.
We are not.
But if anybody would like to pay us to say that, you're more than welcome to. We're not going to complain.
Yeah, please. And you don't even have to be from that TV show. You can just pay us to say that.
You can just pay us to say that, yeah.
Anyway, I think there is, back on topic a little bit, I think there is a Mythbusters episode about spontaneous combustion. I don't remember exactly. I think there is one, and they probably conclude it's not real. Just, I have a gut feeling they make that conclusion.
But we have all these events that clearly have happened.
Yeah. So let's get into it. It actually is not a recent idea. The first that I could find, the first recorded case is from the 1400s in Milan, wow. Italy. A knight named Polonus Vorstius apparently burst into flames at a party right in front of his own parents. And he's said to have belched fire after he drank a lot of wine.
That is a name.
Yeah, I mean, he was from the 1400s Italy, so that's the kind of names you had back then.
Yep.
Did he drink something flammable?
No, he just drank wine, actually.
Did he drink gasoline?
I don't know if they had gasoline in the 1400s.
Yeah, I don't know if they did. I'm gonna.
Maybe it could have been oil.
They probably had some sort of oil.
They had something that was probably flammable.
But he apparently he was just drinking wine.
Are you sure he wasn't just eating wood? Because that's also flammable.
I'm sure rich people in the 1400s did all kinds of crazy stuff. Maybe they ate wood, you know?
Yeah, there wasn't
heard
a lot
it here
of food.
First.
There wasn't a lot of food in the 1400s. They just ate wood.
They just ate wood.
But so the first people to come up with the term spontaneous human combustion was from 1746. Paul Raleigh published an article in the journal Philosophical Transactions, and Raleigh described it as a process in which a human body allegedly catches fire as a result of heat generated by internal chemical activity, but without evidence of an external source of ignition.
That sounds exactly like a definition of spontaneous human combustion.
Yeah, he did a good job defining it.
Good job.
Yeah, and so in this paper, Rowley describes the death of Countess Cornelia Zangari di Bandi of Cesena. So that's a long name.
Once again, great names. what are we doing today? My name's Rick.
On June 20th, 1745, apparently the Countess burned to death. She was 62 years old. She went to bed at a normal hour. When the maid came in the following morning, she found the Countess's corpse on the floor in the most dreadful condition. At the distance of 4 feet from the bed, there was a heap of ashes. Her legs with the stockings still on remained untorched, and the head, half burned, lay between them. Nearly all the rest of the body was reduced to ashes. The bed was disturbed as if she had just risen from it, but neither it nor any other item in the room showed any trace of fire. And they also note that the Countess was a known drinker of alcohol.
That must have been a pretty bad day.
Not a good day when you just burn up.
Oh, I don't even mean that. I mean just like for the maid to come in. I paid to clean. I know cleanness. I know clean.
Yes, Akif.
So, Curtis, I am noticing a trend here. And I'm noticing that in all of the cases that you've given to us, these people, you know, you mentioned a couple people who are, you know, 50s, 60s, one person who was like 91, 92-ish. You know, all of these people that you've mentioned, you know, they're like a more elderly age group. They're like 50s or older. It's not people who are below their like 50s. Like, seems like there's a certain age group that, you know, spontaneous combustion is affecting. Like, once you hit a certain age, you blow up.
Yeah, you are noticing a trend here. That is a real trend.
I hope we have a moral at the end of this story.
It supposedly occurs more to the elderly, actually. So that is something, that is a real trend that you have caught on to, Sakeef. Good job.
Elderly people, watch out, because at any moment you could spontaneously combust.
We're going to get into exactly who needs to watch out more and why.
Okay.
moving on. So Charles Dickens was actually a believer in spontaneous human combustion.
I thought you were going to say that he died.
No,
he
did not spontaneously combust. But he believed it could happen. This was kind of like it was like an idea that was floating around in the 1800s. And so his 1853 novel Bleak House contains a character named Crook, who is a heavy gin drinker, and in the novel he ignites from his stomach and he burns to death. This was controversial even then. Scientific views of the world were becoming more popular at the time, and so many rejected spontaneous human combustion as superstition. And when this novel was released in serial installments, and so when that installment came out that featured the self-immolation of the character, a literary critic said that Dickens was giving currency to a vulgar error. Dickens still vigorously defended the reality of spontaneous human combustion. He cited many documented cases that it had occurred, as well as his own memories of coroner's inquests that he had attended when he had been a reporter. And in the preface of the book edition of Bleak House, Dickinson wrote that he would not abandon the fact of spontaneous human combustion.
I'm glad that he's standing by his morals, standing by what he believes in, because that's really what matters here. Although there are a lot of misinformed people in the world who stand definitely by their ideals and their misinformed views. So I take back what I said. As I have walked myself through it, I take that back.
Good job, Brendan. You're doing the right thing.
Really, yeah. Guys, just please check with the science.
Yeah, it actually does not matter how firmly you believe something.
It doesn't make it more true.
It does not make it more true. It is still at, like, you can believe that up is down, and it is just not that way.
You can believe the moon isn't real, and you would be wrong.
Even if you threw rocks at it and you didn't hit it, the moon would still be
wrong.
There, and that, you know, please figure that out on your own. So that's kind of interesting that Charles Dickens is kind of like a famous literary figure and a figure of that time. And this convinced him, and he wasn't a stupid person. Like, smart people can believe incorrect things. That's true. But, you know, that's still something to consider at the time, that this idea received some mainstream attention back then. And something else you might also notice that alcohol has been a common theme in these.
Yeah, I've been noticing that.
That it was a little bit of like a moral tale at the time that alcoholism was frowned upon. It was kind of like a, hey, if you drink too much alcohol, you're going to burst into flames and die.
Being an alcoholic is still frowned upon to this day.
Yeah, but it was like, you know, more so in like Puritan ideas of like alcohol is just inherently bad, period.
Yeah.
They didn't think it was bad because, well, I don't know. We'll just move on from that. They thought alcoholism made you burst into flames.
as people think.
Right. And the logic is not entirely horrible. I mean, like, some alcohol is flammable, so the idea
it's,
is
it's true
you're drinking some flammable stuff, you might catch
you
on
might
fire.
Catch on fire.
Okay,
somehow there has to be some sort of ignition in your body, but, you know, somehow you might catch on fire. It's precautionary.
So in 1938 there was a the British Medical Journal published an article by L.A. Perry, and he put together like six things that these cases usually have in common. One, the victims are chronic alcoholics. They are usually elderly females.
Elderly females.
Mm-hmm. Three, the body has not burned spontaneously, but some lighted substance has come into contact with it. And this is something that we will debate later in this topic a little bit. The idea of like, is the combustion happening? Is the ignition happening from inside the body, or is something else igniting the body? There are still people who disagree with that. Four, the hands and feet usually fall off. They usually don't burn up.
They fall off the body.
Mm-hmm. Five, the fire has caused very little damage to things around the room, like the rug around the room. And
it's just them who burn.
Right, it's just them who burn up right there. And then the last one is the combustion of the body has left a greasy residue and is very odorous. It smells very bad. Which, like, I can buy that.
Yeah, I can.
That seems the most believable of all of this.
Yes.
It's dead people smell bad no matter what.
Now, Curtis, I have a question here. Did these incidents spark the whole stop, drop, and roll thing that we learn as children?
It's possible. Now, I don't know if you're just burning up from the inside. I don't know that their stop that rolling around helps.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't know because I've never been on fire.
I've never been on fire, and I've never burned from the inside out. Yeah, I've never even approached that kind of experience.
So I think we need to really take this scientifically and find some test subjects who would like to test this theory of does stop, drop, and roll actually help?
Well, I'll do it for the research.
Go for it,
okay.
Sakeef.
Okay. So, Sakeef, we're going to need you to ignite from the inside, and then we're going to try and stop, drop, and roll.
It's step one, step two. Real easy. Real simple. Come on.
I guess step two is three steps, but still.
Step two has sub steps.
Yeah. But anyway, we'll test this.
So what I'm going to do is step one is swallow a bunch of gasoline. Step two, I'm going to light myself on fire by swallowing a match. And step three is stop, drop, and roll.
Good job.
Cool. We will test that, and we will get you the results as soon as we've tested it. With additional patients, because we can't.
We have to have a bigger sample size.
Exactly. Yeah. But Sakeef will be subject one.
And it needs to be, we need to have a control group of people who are on fire but don't stop, drop, and roll. And yep. So we need to see how long it takes them to burn up.
Yep. And I think we also need a control group of people who are not on fire but still stop, drop,
but
and roll.
Still are rolling to see if they catch fire.
Maybe if they catch fire.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is like on Mythbusters when they're testing something completely ridiculous, like, will this such and such harmless thing kill you? And so they're like, we know it's not going to, but we have to take safety precautions just for the hell of it. And so they're like putting on a bunch of safety gear for like no reason at all.
Yep.
So I've discussed a couple cases of spontaneous human combustion and sort of a little bit of the history of it. Now the question is, what do you guys think causes this?
I'm not sure what causes the ignition, but I'm pretty sure the fact that they drink and that they're older probably has a lot to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
Being older, probably that their body,
there might be a correlation between their alcohol and organs.
I don't know. Their organs are smaller and shriveled.
They're dried out.
They're dried out. Sure.
So maybe their organs are coated in alcohol because they've had so much alcohol over their lives.
Oh, there you go.
They've had so much alcohol.
That feels.
And like over their lives, they've been drinking so much that this alcohol has just like created this special coating over their organs.
That feels like it. Somewhat makes sense.
And so since they have this coating of alcohol over their organs, like they're more susceptible to this.
We're gonna get to some ideas that are kind of similar to that. Being elderly does have something to do with it, in terms of several theories. Now we're gonna start off with a couple theories that are a little bit out there, and then we're gonna rein it in.
We're gonna hone ourselves in
the end.
Because it's way more fun to talk about the crazy theories and then get more realistic.
Yeah. So have you guys ever heard of ball lightning?
With the magic card?
No, not the magic card. Ball lightning as in the thing that supposedly happens in real life.
No, I don't know what that is.
So
is ball lightning like this big ball of lightning that just like shoots itself into the ground and then as soon as it hits the ground it splits off into a bunch of directions?
It's probably a good guess, but I think Curtis will tell us.
Supposedly glowing, they're like these glowing spheres of like plasma or just like glow stuff.
Of glow stuff.
That glowing spheres of ball lightning float above the ground for up to a minute, usually when thunderstorms are nearby. They can move around and they do all sorts of stuff. They can like go from one place to another. They can just sit in one spot. They can run into people. The average ball lightning is about 1 foot in diameter. They have a luminosity similar to a 100-watt lamp. They float freely in the air and end either in an explosion or simply like disappearing. And this is a phenomena that science is sort of not all in on. We're not really sure if it happens or not. There are a lot of sightings of it happening. So there's lots of reports of it. However, it's been difficult to reproduce in a scientific setting. There are some who have kind of done it, and there are some possible physical explanations for these things. It's just the question of which reports we hear about them are real and which ones aren't. Their true nature is kind of unknown. There is here I'm discussing this is there is a ball lightning researcher, literally a scientist who researches ball lightning. His name is John Abrahamson. And he has recreated small kinds of ball lightning in his lab. His theory is that more or less after a lightning strike, certain elements can be released into the atmosphere from the ground. Like I think phosphorus is one he speaks of a lot, which might briefly glow in the air for scientific reasons that I didn't really understand very well, and move around and do all kinds of stuff. And he has suggested that ball lightning could account for some cases of spontaneous human combustion.
The ball just moseys in through a window and gets you.
Yep, kind of just goes on in there and finds you. He says, and this is a quote from him, This is circumstantial only. So this says we're starting off real good here.
Okay.
This is circumstantial
only. It hasn't been proven.
But the charring of human limbs seen in a number of ball lightning cases are very suggestive that this mechanism may have also occurred where people have had limbs combusted.
Yeah, but the whole thing was that the limbs were never combusted.
Yeah, sometimes the limbs are... He's talking about limbs. I think what he's saying is that... burned flesh looks like burned flesh.
Yeah, I think that he used the word limbs when he shouldn't have.
Yeah, it's really not. Now that I'm sort of reading this out loud, it's kind of just like, hey, someone burned themselves, and it looked like another guy who burned himself, which kind of makes sense, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, it could be ball lightning.
It could be.
And this guy wasn't a super crazy guy; like he was an actual scientist. And so. Again, actual scientists can still be wrong and still have false beliefs, but it's just something to consider.
Yeah.
He's less crazy than the guy who thinks the moon isn't real.
We've started out weirder before.
Exactly. there is... So, another suggestion is that it could be ghosts.
Okay. I mean, it could be. You're right. Could.
And that's kind of,
I don't know.
Like, I'm going to read a little bit more about this, but that's basically, in a nutshell, this guy's theory is it could be ghosts.
I haven't done the research myself. So, sure. I mean, I guess anything is possible.
Yeah.
Could be ghosts. It's probably not Casper.
There's a man named Michael Harrison.
Now, is he a crazy man or an actual scientist?
He was a writer from the United Kingdom. He wrote a bunch of novels and stuff. In his 1976 book, Fire from Heaven, which is just a book all about spontaneous human combustion.
Yeah, that's what I was going to guess.
He suggests that it is connected to poltergeist activity. He argues that the force which activates the poltergeist... originates in and is supplied by a human being. So he's trying to say that, like, ghosts come into this realm by using people energy.
And then because that energy, it causes ignition?
Yeah, I guess he's arguing that, like, when the ghosts, like, use us as portals to come over here, it lights up a little bit of fire in us. And that can cause us to explode.
It explodes elderly women.
Yes. Elderly women are not very resistant to explosions.
Yeah, that seems like sound logic.
He concludes the concluding summary of his novel. He writes, spontaneous human combustion, fatal or non-fatal, belongs to the extensive range of poltergeist phenomena.
You know, I'm really upset with these poltergeists. If you guys are listening to our podcast for whatever reason, or as we're recording, you know, I don't know what you guys do.
If you're in the other room right now.
I don't know what you guys do. Stop using us as portals, or stop using elderly women as portals. Like, you can use the rest of us as portals, because theoretically we're probably not going to spontaneously human combust. Mm-hmm.
There is, I mean, they don't only use elderly women. There are a fair amount of male cases.
Yeah, but
I actually named three male cases in my examples.
It's true, but
yeah, you definitely named three male cases.
I'm just going off the similarities from uh-huh. that one person. I don't know, just stop coming here.
So I looked, you can buy this book on Amazon. It's $10 about. It's called Fire from Heaven by Michael Harrison. One reviewer of this book on Amazon stated that it was well researched. And there were only two reviews. So one person said it was well researched, gave it 3 out of 5 stars. The other person said gave it 1 star out of 5 and said it was poorly authenticated rubbish. So that's
mixed reviews.
Mixed reviews.
None of them great.
None of them great. Yeah, 1 to 3 stars. Well researched to poorly.
3 out of 5 stars isn't great.
Yeah, and that's pretty medium there. Yeah. Although he said it was well researched. So now we're gonna move on to something called the Pyrotron.
Okay. Yeah.
This,
my body's ready.
This theory is made up by someone called Larry E. Arnold. And Arnold wrote a book called Ablaze. Also a book about spontaneous human combustion.
Yeah, makes sense.
From 1995. He proposes a new type of subatomic particle called a pyrotron. Apparently these pyrotrons, and this is like, I looked into this a little bit. This is as detailed an understanding that I could arrive at. Not to say there isn't a better understanding out there, but these pyrotrons apparently bounce around and they fuck up shit on a subatomic level, which causes you to catch on fire.
So they just move around the Earth.
They're just, the pyrotrons are in the atoms doing stuff and then you catch on fire. Step one, step two.
they just do stuff. We don't know what that stuff is.
No, they're bouncing into stuff and you catch on fire because they're pyrotrons. They're fire molecules. So if you have too many fire molecules in you, you'll catch on fire. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't want you don't want them. You don't want too many.
It is important to point out that fire does not actually have mass or molecules. It's actually just a reaction. It's sort of just like movement is fire itself. So
yeah, you don't want pyrotrons, though.
You can't. The existence of a fire molecule doesn't really make a lot of sense.
I don't want them.
But you don't want them, you'll catch on fire.
Get rid of them. Get them gone.
I googled pyrotron and the first thing it came up is actually a wind tunnel in Australia that they use to research how brush fires move. They just have a wind tunnel and they put fire in it and they can see how fire moves around on a field.
I like that.
It's an actual research thing.
It's a research
thing.
And
they called it the pyrotron.
That's a great name. Absolutely great name. I felt like they were like, yeah, we should probably name it something like, you know, something like scientific or, and then like Jim in the back, Pyrotron. And everyone was like,
that's the one.
That's the one.
That's why you're here, Jim.
You have a raise.
A little more about the Pyrotron and Arnold. So Arnold also wrote that the flammability of the human body could be increased by certain circumstances, like increased alcohol in the blood. He also wrote that extreme stress could be the trigger that starts many combustions. So if you're really stressed out, you might catch on fire.
Because of the fire molecules.
Because of the fire molecules. Because
you have more of them. Because there's a fire in your heart. Don't
and
be stressed.
You're just like, if you got a lot of shit going on, you might catch on fire. So stress is bad for your body, in a lot of ways. So another way is that you might catch on fire. So be thoughtful about that.
All right, guys. So just, you know, if you get stressed out, just realize that there are, once again, a lot of bad things about it. But the worst thing is that you could potentially just explode and catch on fire. And you really don't want to do that. So make sure that when you're stressed out, you know, really like really take a moment, just sit back and relax. You know, everything's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. You know, come back to this episode and listen to these soothing words from Sakeef.
I don't really know what to say here at this point. What do I tell people, guys?
It doesn't, the words are all we need. It doesn't matter what you say.
So, you know, I guess I could use my smooth, creamy voice to comfort people. Actually, a funny story. When I used to work at GameStop, my coworker and I would have to make phone calls for pre-orders out to people. And he would just hand me the phone and be like, why should I do it? And he's like, because you've got this smooth, creamy, Sakif voice that makes people feel really good. And so you should be the one calling them.
It's that voice that he just did there.
Smooth and creamy.
I mean, you know, people were comforted by it.
And that's what
it.
You need.
You need cream, huh?
You need that to put out a fire.
It's cream. True.
Cream puts out fire, huh? Is that right?
What do you think is in a fire extinguisher?
Cream.
Just whipped cream.
Just a bunch of whipped cream. Yeah, that's what it looks like.
That's what it looks like. That's what it is. If it looks like it, it probably is that.
If you drink a lot of milk, you won't catch on fire.
Fact.
That's just what I'm assuming from all this information I've gathered.
I drink a lot of milk, as you guys probably know.
You do drink a lot of milk, Sakif.
You do.
I've actually seen Sakif just drink glasses of milk recreationally, like not with cereal or anything, just full glasses of milk pure.
Which isn't weird until after you like get past the point where your mom's like telling you to drink milk. Because after my mom stopped telling me to drink milk, I don't drink milk.
Yeah, my mom and dad used to tell me to drink milk all the time, and I mean, but I still do
it. I only did it because my mom told me to.
I mean, I drink less milk than I used to.
I can't remember the last time I drank milk. That being said, I have a bowl of cereal over here, but I don't drink the milk.
Why don't you like the milk, Brendan? The milk's the best part of cereal. Like, it's just so good, especially when you have it in, like, when you have a chocolate cereal, and it just, you know, makes a chocolate milk. I mean, milk is so rich, and you can have cocoa, and it just makes you feel all warm and fuzzy inside after you drink it.
And that's why you're a good person.
Aw.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Curtis.
So, a little bit back to what Larry E. Arnold is saying. He claims that the internal combustion process may use no external oxygen to spread throughout the body for some reason that he thinks is legitimate. And he pretty much has no argument to back this up. Researcher Joe Nickel has criticized Arnold's hypothesis as based on selective evidence and argument from ignorance.
So he actually believes this, though.
Yeah.
Like he wrote this in a piece of fiction, but 100% believes
this. This is a nonfiction book.
Oh, it's a nonfiction book.
Yeah.
I thought it was a book of fiction.
No.
Like the last guy.
No, the other guy was actually also writing nonfiction.
Really?
Yeah. He was a fiction writer generally. He also, I think, legitimately believed ghosts were causing people to explode.
You see, I thought all of this was fiction, which would make a lot of sense.
You could say they're alternative facts.
I mean, that's 100% true.
Yeah. So you can buy the book Ablaze on Amazon also. It costs about $24. It's a bit more expensive than the other book.
Yeah.
My favorite, this book actually has a lot of reviews on it. My favorite review though, was by Ken Sykes. He gave it 4 out of 5 stars. The review says, "Everything was fine. Thank you." So, if you're interested in reading this book, "Everything was fine. Thank you."
That's always what I want to see when I buy a book. I just want the review to be, "Everything was fine. Thank you." And that's all I want from a book.
Cause that's, you can't do better than fine.
Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone, everything was fine. Thank you.
You can't do better than fine. Are you sure? You can't say everything was great. That's not better than fine.
Nothing's great, Sakif.
Nothing's
Come on.
Great.
You've been alive long enough to know that.
Look, if I really wanted a great book, you know, I wouldn't go on Amazon to buy it.
Amazon only has
shitty
books.
Okay, what would you do?
Yeah, what would you do?
I'd go to the library and ask my librarian, because they know where the truly great books are, whereas Amazon only knows where the fine books are. So if you really want to get a fine book, go to Amazon.
Yeah, but great is objective.
All of this is objective, Sakif.
Wait, did you say great is objective?
I'm subjective.
Subjective. I always get subjective and objective confused, and I was going to say subjective, but then I was like, I'm probably wrong. Let me say objective. But as I've displayed just now, I'm wrong. I was wrong. Subjective and objective are always confusing my head, and I don't know why.
You can think of like an object is objectively that object, and subjective is your own perception. So you are the subject.
There you go. That was
maybe that helps. Maybe it
that
doesn't.
Was handy. Anyway, let's learn more about people exploding.
Yeah. So my next possible explanation. Now we're getting into a little more. This one is a little more realistic. Also, maybe just false though.
So these other ones didn't fall into the also maybe
these
false
other
category.
Ones I'm pretty sure are false.
Okay.
The other ones we've gone over.
Okay, but this one might be false, but also might not be false.
Correct.
okay.
This is made up by a guy named Brian J. Ford, and he is a research biologist.
No relation to Henry Ford.
No relation to Henry Ford, I believe.
There's a lot of Fords.
A lot of Fords.
Ford's a very common name.
Yeah, I guess. He's not a car man. He's a research biologist, and he's authored more than 30 books.
That's a lot of books.
Yeah, and he's like a scientist, so he, you know, again, not a completely random dude. He has suggested that a condition of the body called ketosis might be responsible for spontaneous combustion. Ketosis is caused has a couple causes, possibly alcoholism, like a really low fat or low carb diet can cause it, or having diabetes. And what it is when your body produces a lot of acetone, ultimately. And I could get into more specifics of it, but I don't remember what they are. And ultimately, your body produces more acetone. And acetone is highly flammable. And
okay.
So the logic there is that it could apparently lead to you catching on fire and burning up.
Okay.
Yeah. This seems more logical than the other two.
Right. So a little more in depth. We've already talked about a bunch of older theories attribute spontaneous human combustion to alcoholism.
Yep.
Which, you know, like I said before, makes a certain sense. Alcohol is flammable. You're drinking a flammable thing. However, once you've consumed even a high proof alcohol, as soon as you like drink it, it's very quickly diluted by your body. Like even
I
just
mean,
in
that
your
makes,
stomach acid.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And it makes it virtually impossible to burn. And so Brian Ford tested this, and he marinated some pork abdomen tissue. So like some pork fat. He marinated it in pure ethanol for a week. So that's just like pure alcohol. And then after that, it would not burn.
So it wouldn't burn.
It would not burn.
Interesting.
He repeated this test by marinating the pork tissue in acetone. And he actually created like a, this sounds really grotesque, like a human scale pork mannequin.
Yeah, it does sound really gross.
Which he marinated in acetone. And that burned to ash within 30 minutes.
Okay.
So the logic there is that acetone will work and that alcohol won't.
But didn't he say that, you know, drinking the alcohol does lead to the creation of acetone?
It can in your body. If you're an alcoholic, like that condition can lead to, it's like your liver or something produces a bunch of acetone or whatever. Alcohol still can be a cause, but
so it's not
a little more complicated.
Yeah, it's not just the alcohol, right. it's the acetone.
Mm-hmm. He does admit that not everyone with ketosis is at risk for spontaneous combustion.
That's good.
because it just doesn't happen that often. There are, I think, about in recorded history, I saw some places said there's 200 recorded cases, others say there were 300.
That is a lot more than I thought.
It's a lot, but it's also like over the whole span of time.
Oh, I understand.
Not very much.
Yeah. It's very little, but still more than I thought.
But it's still, yeah, right. That's still
that's still a number.
Too many.
That's that's probably like 190 too many. I was thinking there'd probably be like 14 total.
That's a good exact number.
It really makes you wonder, like, how are these people spontaneously exploding?
That's why we're talking
about this.
Yeah. And a common explanation is that simply, like, these are people who just caught on fire and burned to death. through like more natural means, but there just wasn't an immediate explanation for it. So someone wrote down it was spontaneous combustion. And that's one theory, that it's actually just a misattribution. It's misattributed rather than
a lot
legitimate
of them, yeah.
Exploding.
Yeah.
Well, what could be a rational explanation for these people burning into ash?
Well, that's what we're...
if it's not spontaneous combustion.
So there, I do have one.
If it's not spontaneous combustion, probably.
Yeah, if we're thinking it's people like burnt from more natural causes.
Probably someone got too close to a candle or something, and they drenched themselves in alcohol or something. Like they were drinking, drenched themselves in alcohol, and then got too close to a candle.
My last theory is probably the most realistic theory. But even this one seems pretty obtuse, but it is the best explanation for what's going on. And there is some weird thing happening here that's causing people to just burn up, because like they just find these people and they're just reduced to ash, and like the room has not burned down and nothing else has happened. And
I already offered an explanation. It's Ted Cruz, of course, killer.
Right, is burning people up. And that's possible. It's very possible that Ted Cruz is doing that. But the last explanation is called the wick effect. Like a candle wick.
Huh.
It's almost like I just pitched that a second ago.
So the wick effect suggests that a small external flame source, such as a burning cigarette, might char the clothing of a victim at a location. Just like burn them a little bit,
mm-hmm.
and it splits open the skin of the victim, which would release subcutaneous fat. So like it burns open a little spot on you, and then your fat starts leaking out. Then the fat is absorbed into the burning clothing, which starts to act as a wick, much like how a candle wick is a string that's inside some wax, and then the wax slows the string down from being burned and lets it continue to burn. Just like your fat would act like the wax in a candle, and your clothes would act like the string
itself. The wick, yeah.
And so this can actually continue for as long as there's like fat to burn. And so, and this has been successfully tested with animal tissue. They have like taken pork fat and just like wrapped it around a string, and it has burned somewhat like a candle.
That's gross.
And actually, candles used to be made out of like animal fat.
That's
so.
Still gross.
Yeah. None of this is non-gross. People are burning alive. The human body typically has enough stored energy in fat and other chemical stores to fully combust the body. Even lean people have several pounds of fat in their tissue. This fat, once heated by the burning clothing, wicks to the clothing, much like candle wax. The proteins in the body also burn. And the main impediment to burning is obviously the water that's in your body. Our bodies are 70% water. And the reason this even has an explanation for why the extremities might often not burn, like feet and hands will often remain unburned. And that's because they have less fat. And so your feet has less fat in it, whereas your abdomen has a lot of fat in it, and your hands don't have as much fat in it. So that's why they don't burn as often. And this is the main thing with this is that it would take a long time for this to happen. It would be a slow burn. And you might think, why wouldn't someone just get up and walk away, or, you know, stop themselves from being on fire?
But they don't know it. I feel like that's the thing.
It's yes. And right. This is why this is something that is often attributed to the elderly. Or,
and like if you're asleep.
Right. I mean, theoretically, I would wake up if I was on fire.
I mean, but what if you don't know you're on fire?
Well, I have these things called nerves that detect pain and signal my brain to wake me up, right?
But I mean, at the same time, sure, you wake up. You have no idea why you're in pain.
Yep.
So you don't know what's going on.
So I just sit there and let the pain continue until I
diminish. But like,
Brendan, I think you're a little, I think there's some flaw in this idea that you're trying to pitch right now.
Well, I'm not really trying to pitch in. I'm just trying to, you know, figure out why these people died.
So the main explanation I have is that they're like usually incapacitated, like, and this is also attributed to alcohol. Like a drunk person, you know, is just passed out drunk, and then they just slowly burn to death, and they can't do anything about it because they're literally passed out. And you know, the same thing with the elderly, and because older people have a hard time responding to things, and so they just slowly burn up. And this, like I said, this is the best theory I came across, and it is still like a little weird.
Yeah, it's as you said, it's a little obtuse.
Yeah. Now, an explanation for why the rest of like the surrounding room might not be burned up, because in many of these cases they just find like just the body will be burned up and everything else in the room is fine, is that fire actually has a hard time spreading sideways. And so it spreads up really easily because flames go up. So a lot of these people like just like they'll be on the floor and that spot on the floor will be burned up, but the rest of the floor won't. And that's just because the fire couldn't really move sideways that well because it's not that good at doing that. And so do you guys have any questions about this, the wick effect anymore?
No, I mean, it probably makes the most sense out of.
So yeah. I
solid foundation behind that, mm-hmm. I would say.
I want to go over
still,
again.
Still mind-boggling.
It is still mind-boggling.
Yeah, I don't know how much I believe in the whole thing that happens. I don't know how these people died, but
exactly.
It's not my job to figure that out.
It's not. You are not paid to do that.
Chances are, after this episode, I'm going to forget all about this and move on with my life and not stay up at night being like, why did she die?
Well, let's hope you don't catch on fire, Brent.
Oh, let's hope so. Fingers crossed.
You might need this information.
You might not want to drink tonight, Brendan.
Yeah, you might not want to get drunk or get old.
Well, unfortunately, I go to work tonight, so I can't actually drink on the job, so...
Well, stay away from open flames.
I think I'll be good. I'll stay away from open flames.
I do want to go over our four introductory cases again. And give some possible explanations for those cases. So mm-hmm. We had, let's start off with Michael Fahirty. I'm saying his name wrong. Anyway, the one in Ireland, the one in 2010.
Michael
is the one
Fahirty.
Where the coroner actually said, like, this is spontaneous human combustion. and again, this could just be, I think, like, the wick effect applies here. He was found near a fireplace. I think that's kind of hard to ignore. Like it says here that the fire squad were like, no, it wasn't the fireplace, but like the dude was literally right next to the fireplace when they found him. And so I think it's pretty reasonable to assume he caught on fire that way.
Oh and... yes. Do you think it's the fire? No, it's not the fire.
It's also, it's hard to determine the actual cause of death with these incidences because yep. Guess what? The dude is just in ashes.
He's just in ashes.
So, it's also possible that an elderly person might have had a heart attack, fallen forward near the fire, and then slowly burned up that way because they were actually already dead when they're burning. Mm-hmm. And so it's not actually the fire that killed them; it's just the heart attack that killed him, and then he fell into the fire.
And it's hard to tell.
Yeah,
because you can't examine the heart,
right?
Because it's not there.
Because it's gone. It's ashes. And so that's a possible explanation for deaths like that.
Ashes, they all fall down.
Ashes, they all fall down. We also had Dr. John Irving Bentley. This was
the 91-year-old or something.
He was
like
a 92-year-old, and he and this is one of the meter reader came in and found him like a hole burned in the floor, and then the rest of the room was fine. And so they also found a pitcher next to his ashes and the hole in the floor. So it's thought that he caught on fire a little bit, maybe trying to, because he smoked a pipe, and although the pipe hadn't been recently lit, it's possible that they maybe thought he like struck a match and it caught his shirt on fire or something. And then he made his way into the bathroom to fill the pitcher with water to put himself out, and there he just sort of like passed out. He, like, the flames just got to him, and he just passed out from there.
And then proceeded to die.
Before he could put it out. And then, right. And then just died. And maybe, like, smoke inhalation made him pass out as well, because he was elderly, and so he was already...
Yeah, I mean, you know, they didn't really teach stop, drop, and roll back then.
Uh-huh.
It would have been helpful.
Exactly. It is curious that they estimated the fire would have had to burn at a very high degree of temperature to actually completely consume the body. So that's a little strange.
I mean, we don't know what was on his clothes. We don't know what his occupation was.
He was retired. He was 92.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, we don't know what chemicals, like, he would have been in, like, in contact with. So there could have been stuff on his clothes,
I guess.
And you know, clothes burn.
Clothes burn.
Clothes are easily flammable.
They are. So
although I have never burnt clothing, so I'm not 100% sure how fast or how easy it is to burn clothes.
Well, when you do your...
But I'm sure it's really easy.
When you do your burning from the inside testing, burn your clothes too and see what happens.
Yep.
Okay, sounds good.
Now, and we also had the case of Mary Reeser. This was 1951 in Florida. She was 67.
Mm-hmm.
And she was found dead by her landlord. Mm-hmm. And this is one where, like, only her left foot in a slipper and her backbone and her skull remained. This one had a curious, like, her skull was also a little shrunken, which people were a little confused about, which didn't make sense, because if anything, heat should make your skull expand.
Yeah.
And this actually, the local police actually sent these ashes out to J. Edgar Hoover, the, like, director of the FBI, to be like, hey, what happened here?
What happened
here?
Like,
we can't figure this out. What
this
happened?
Is your job.
and they said it was the wick effect, actually, that consumed Mary Reeser.
Huh.
There are a couple theories of that Mary Reeser was actually murdered, and that there was someone came in and
murdered,
like, burned her up.
And then burned her?
Yeah.
To get rid of the thing. I mean, entirely plausible,
and
though.
Just put her ashes back in her room.
Entirely plausible, though.
But it's also a little weird, because the landlord, before they found her, like, they touched the door handle and it was hot. Before they go, as if there had actually been a fire in the room.
Whoa.
So if someone had done that, they would have had to heat up the door handle, like in Home Alone, where the kid puts the hot thing on the door handle.
Yeah, or like in The Office, when Dwight, you know, takes the, what is it? He has like a, something that heats up things, and he heated up a door handle to make everybody think that there was a fire in the building.
Yeah. Surprise, Macaulay Culkin is the murderer. He is the Zodiac Killer. I don't know why we're pitching the Zodiac Killer, but
you started it.
But it's just an unsolved thing. That's my intent here.
And so that's Mary Reese's is probably the more mysterious one
that
more
is very mysterious
questions into it. And you can look up the case. It's kind of interesting. The last one we talked about was the homeless man in South London, 1967.
Yeah, poor guy.
He was found, and the flames were literally, like, coming out of a slit in his abdomen, like, forcefully emitting. Something I left out was that this man, Robert Bailey, was known to drink denatured alcohol because it's cheaper. If you're not familiar with what denatured alcohol is, it's literally camp fuel. It's literally like alcohol that they've taken and added like poisons to so that people won't drink it.
But it's cheaper.
So he liked to drink it a lot. And so he drank a lot of it. And it's possible
he just put camp fuel in his body.
He drank a bunch of camp fuel and it caught on fire somehow and just burned out of him.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
What a terrible way to go.
Right. So as long as you're not drinking camp fuel, I think your chances of not exploding are pretty good.
Yeah. Yep.
I wanted to do a little more research into like spontaneous combustion in animals as well.
Yeah.
I didn't actually do that a whole lot.
I mean, I could assume that there's probably not very many cases documented.
There are some. I did find one case I thought was humorous that I wanted to bring up. So in January.
Right, because spontaneous combustion is supposed to be humorous.
I mean, while people have died and have animals have died, it's still pretty funny.
Like people just exploding randomly. Like, because it's clearly not, if it were a bigger problem, it would be less funny.
Exactly.
But I think that.
You said 200 to 300 people, period.
Yeah.
Of all time.
Cases, yeah. That's on the grand scale of things very small.
Yeah.
And many of those cases are probably just people who just caught on fire.
Yeah.
Normally. You know.
They walk by that candle.
Like they happened a lot to drunk people who might be incapacitated, and they happened a lot during the winter when like people are more likely to have an open flame going because they're cold.
Yeah.
So that makes sense to me. Anyway, this one case of this cow. So in January 1932, an Australian newspaper reported an incident where a dairy cow was partially blown up and killed on a farm. The cow had apparently picked up a detonator in her mouth while grazing.
Sorry, what year was this?
In 1932, in Australia.
A detonator.
The cow was grazing. There was a bomb laying around, which the cow ate. And it was only triggered later when the cow began to chew her cud. This is the things cow do. They like regurgitate something they've already eaten and they chew on it some more. And the cow was also being milked at the time. So the cow had its head blown off by the resulting explosion, and the farmer milking the cow was knocked unconscious.
Okay, well, at least he didn't die.
He did not die from an exploding cow, yes.
On his tombstone, died from an exploding cow. We know it's funny, but he was a great man.
It's okay to laugh.
Please don't remember him just because of the exploding cow.
Yeah, so if you have cows and they like to eat grass, don't leave your bombs laying around on the grass.
Yep.
That's all I can say about that.
And that's... I feel like... I know we're not a visual podcast, but I feel like just the more you know, it's like a shooting star across the screen.
This is a perfect opportunity for the more you know. So that's pretty much the information I've got for this one. That's spontaneous combustion for you. It is a mysterious thing. There are some explanations. Most of them are really silly. They're all weird. It is not an easily explainable thing. It is something that clearly people are burning up somehow, and we're just not sure how it happens. And it's very difficult to investigate because the people are entirely ashes.
Yep.
So,
and you know, if for whatever reason, you know, you walk into some building and find somebody who's, you know, burned up and exploded or whatever. That's pretty unfortunate for you. I'm sorry.
Well, if you walk in and you see it happening, stop it. Don't just let this person blow up. Try to stop them from blowing up and exploding.
Yeah, I don't think there's like a... I don't think they have like a... like workplace guidelines. If your coworker is currently exploding,
stop them from
stop.
Give them a big old hug.
Keep all of their parts inside, so hug them to make it so that it won't go anywhere.
Make sure they stop, drop, and roll.
Yeah, it's a tough one, guys. It's a tough egg to crack. You know, it's not really a conspiracy.
It's not, but it's really funny.
But it's really weird, and it's
It's unexplained. It's and unexplained. So we talked
it's
about
mysterious.
Yeah, we talked about the unexplained things, and I feel like that's a bigger thing that we do here, because there's a lot of stuff that we talk about that's unexplained, mm-hmm. or it's explained but poorly.
Right, exactly.
So we sort of, you know, have to find the answers.
Find the answers.
Find the truth.
That's what we do here at Mulder Was Right. So what do we say now? We say the cleanup stuff now?
Yeah,
you say we're done here. Go away.
Well. Before we do that, I just wanted to talk about our sponsor, Audible.com.
Audible.com.
Yep. So Audible.com, if you guys don't know, is an audiobook site. They have 180,000 titles to choose from, including the book that I found, Spontaneous Human Combustion. I don't know if it's funny or not. I don't know if it's meant to be serious. I couldn't find any of the books that you were talking about.
They're not very popular.
But I also found a book called Ablaze, which I believe that's what one of them was, right? Yeah.
Yep.
This is an audiobook called Ablaze, and it's 6 hours and 43 minutes. It's got three reviews, and it's got 3.5 stars. And the cover looks like a porno. It's got...
It has a very... very naked man and woman on
a very naked man and woman on the cover.
Yep.
I'm assuming it's not related to to spontaneous human combustion.
Can you guys show me?
It's very tiny. It's going to be hard to show you over Skype. There you go.
That's okay. But I've got an idea. Oh, wow.
But anyway.
That's steamy.
So it's probably not about spontaneous human combustion, but if you really like steamy romance novels.
If you really like two attractive naked people.
Well, then you guys can definitely check out that book on audible.com. If you sign up today under our affiliate link, audibletrial.com/MWRcast, you get a free trial and you get a free audiobook. If you don't like your specific audiobook, you can exchange it for a new one. And, you know, if you don't like Audible all that much, well, you still get to keep the book after the trial.
Yep.
And it really helps us if you guys sign up for it using that link. So once again, that's audibletrial.com/MWRcast.
Beautiful.
Definitely check out audible.com. You can listen to it on your computer, iPhone, phone period.
Yep.
Any sort of MP3. Not a Walkman.
Your phonograph player.
Yeah, that one, though. Anyway. So yeah, check out audibletrial.com/MWRcast. And you can find us anywhere on social media at MWRcast. You could find us on Facebook, Twitter. You can find this podcast anywhere where you can find podcasts, basically. That's Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, yeah, a bunch of places. SoundCloud, you know, all those places.
All those good places.
Yep. You can find us on the Anchor app, anchor.fm/MWRcast. You can find us there. We talk about alternative facts. We haven't done that in a while. We should.
Yeah, but there's still a bunch on there.
We should do that.
Yeah, we can.
Yeah. We should do that. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening, guys. We will see you in the next one.
Wake up, sheeple.
Hey guys, this is Saki from Mulder Was Right. Thanks for tuning into this week's episode. We always appreciate your listenership. Just as a quick disclaimer here, so funny story, while we were recording, we ran into some technical issues that resulted in my audio file being deleted and not working anymore. So the first half of this episode, I want to say like the first 30 minutes or so, I had to actually completely re-record all my lines. Curtis was great about, we took a little break to take care of business, and Curtis went through, listened to it all. He's got a great memory, so he was good about remembering things I said, and we just kind of went back into it, re-recorded my lines, and hopefully you guys still enjoyed the episode. And we know that this episode came a little late because of those issues, but we really appreciate you guys tuning in and hanging with us, and we really hope you enjoyed this episode, and hopefully we'll see you next week.